Can't get enough of the podcast? Lucky for you, our video IQ platform on adorebeauty.com.au houses thousands of articles on skincare, makeup, haircare, and more. Plus, you can find a heap of video tutorials, ingredient spotlights, and brand breakdowns on our YouTube channel. Just click on Beauty IQ in the menu bar of the website or app, or search Adore Beauty on YouTube for more beauty content.
Adore Beauty acknowledges First Nations people as the traditional owners across the lands and waters of Australia. We recognise and pay our respects to elders past, present and future whose lands were never ceded. Welcome back to Beauty IQ, the podcast. I'm your host, Hannah First.
And I'm your co-host, Melissa Mason.
So Mel, you're dressed pretty country today.
I am.
A little bit country.
I got my suede fringe jacket on.
And my question to you is, do you like country music?
I do, actually. I do, because I went through like Nashville in the States years and years ago, and our iPod, this is how long ago it was iPod era. Our iPod broke, my sister's and mine.
You had a shared iPod?
We had a shared iPod for the trip.
Okay.
And then it broke, and then we had to listen to the radio, and it was literally, the choice was like hip hop, Christian music, and country music. And then that's how we got into country music. But I'm especially a country music fan at the moment because of the new Beyonce album.
What do you think?
Love.
I'm a little bit sick of those Texas Hold'em dances, though.
Yes.
Like, I've seen enough.
Yes, that's I've seen enough. Yeah. I just don't care about Jolene. Like, I just only like the Dolly Parton Jolene.
I agree. I loved the, did you listen to the little intro?
Yes.
The hussy with the good hair, yeah. Dolly Parton said. Yeah. And then it goes into Beyonce's Jolene.
Yes.
I read all of the lyrics on Spotify as I was listening to it. I was
amazing.
Yeah, I was like, who's this about? Obviously.
Obviously. But yes, I'm not pitting them against each other. I just will always be a Dolly Parton Jolene fan. But crazy, because the CMAs were recently and she wasn't there. And I feel like all this discussion about it being a country album and her doing this like pivot into country music, and then she's just not there. But she has actually said that it's a Beyonce album, Hannah.
Oh yeah, yeah. Not she's above the genre.
Yeah, she's above. She's above everything, to be honest. And you know what? Anything she says, I will go with. What is on the episode today?
So on today's episode, we are doing a bit of a blind reaction to fragrance and seeing if we can guess the notes. I definitely won't be able to, just letting you know. And then we are chatting about syncing your skincare to your cycle. And then, of course, the products we didn't know we needed.
So for Cringy today, we are playing a game, my favorite thing to do. We are blind reacting to fragrance. This is really going to test our knowledge.
I know nothing. Like, I know when I smell something, I'm like, I don't know. But we've got Michael Edwards, who's been a guest on the podcast twice. Mm-hmm. We've got his fragrance wheel up.
Yes.
You can Google Michael Edwards fragrance wheel, and it basically has all of the notes, and then it goes deeper into more notes within the notes.
Yes.
So I think we're going to do the inner. There's like, we'll try and pick from the inner.
Yeah, I agree. I think so too. Because yeah, there's those four groups of like, you know, woody, fresh, floral and oriental. Let's just do it. Let's just get going.
Okay. We're going to close our eyes and we're going to get given a...
Eyes are closed. I'm scared.
...stick to smell off, and we'll smell it and then we're going to choose.
When I close my eyes, it reminds me of playing Murder in the Dark when I was a kid and you couldn't see anything and someone might just touch you on the arm or something. Or heads down, thumbs up. Do you remember that game?
No, I don't remember
and
that.
And you would put your head... Ah, Cassie's touching me. See, oh, it freaks me out. Okay.
I'm going to say... water.
Okay, yeah, like
fresh. It's fresh. I think it's water and fruity.
I'm also going to say water. It's giving very aquatic. It's reminding me a lot of like Davidoff Cool Water,
yes,
which is
the
classic.
Yes, a man coming out of the water.
Yeah,
that's shirtless. That's what I saw when I closed my
water
eyes.
Water going down in rivulets down his abs.
Rivulets.
He's got jeans on. They're now wet from the water. He's got long... I'm going to stop.
Do you smell...
woody. I feel like there's woody in there.
I smell fruity.
I smell dry woods. We're going to find out now. It is YSL Myself. I've heard about this fragrance.
Okay, so this one's actually sparkling citrus, warm woods, and with a floral twist.
The citrus is very subtle.
We completely
maybe
got that
on
wrong.
Skin, though. You know how sometimes on skin those top notes are much more
I
apparent?
I can't smell any wood.
Okay, I can smell the wood.
We're just smelling coffee grounds. What does that actually do?
It neutralizes. I don't know the science behind it, but I know that it neutralizes the scent in your nose and like rebalance. It's kind of like, you know, when you're eating and they have like the amuse-bouche that they have when you go to a fancy restaurant, yes. And it's usually like a gelato or something, and it's to neutralize your palate. So then feeling all of the flavors. So for us, it's we're smelling all of the notes.
Next one.
I'm feeling citrus, fresh.
I'm smelling,
it's very fresh.
Dry woods, leather.
Leather? That's dry, not fresh, is it?
I'm smelling dry. I can't. I'm just only smelling dry.
Maybe green notes. I'm actually smelling green.
I think green and dry woods.
And if I'm going to go for a wood, I actually think it's vetiver.
It does smell like vetiver. I don't know what that is.
I don't know what it is, but whenever I see vetiver on a thing, this is what it smells like.
Okay, let's have a look. This is Who is Elijah Ocean Eyes.
Oh, God.
Citrus again.
Citrus and the watery
salty
notes.
And fresh fragrance. So it does have fruity. It's got grapefruit, mandarin, seawater.
Now I can smell the grapefruit.
It's got Heart is Aquatic Breeze. I didn't know that they
package that up. Oh, my gosh.
We're
so bad at this.
How do they package up Aquatic Breeze into a scent?
They go out into the middle of the ocean and they just like bang. Hold it. They cup their hands around it and then they pull it in.
And it's got musk and amberwood. So it is woody.
All right, eyes closed. Wait, coffee. I'm ready. Oh, very light. That is giving fruity for me. This, to me, I can smell mandarin.
Yep, I think fruity, and I'm smelling some water.
I'm smelling floral.
Marine aquatic notes.
I love this. Oh,
and floral. And citrus as well. I think fruity, citrus water.
Yeah, fruity, okay. Citrus water.
This is Goldfield and Banks Bohemian Line. So we do have, sparkling waterfalls.
Oh my gosh, I love this description, guys. Sunlight filtered through a lush canopy and the sound of sparkling waterfalls.
So I'm assuming that's aquatic scents. So it's got lime, citrus. It's got, we didn't get woody.
Coriander, vetiver. There she is. Anyway, this smells unreal.
It's definitely citrusy and the waterfalls is definitely giving aquatic ocean breeze vibes.
Yes. And we want to also say that the AB staff are obsessed with this for the men in their lives. Lots of us have opted to buy it as a girls for guys type of scent, you know, which I think is really like unisex scents and like genderless fragrance is having such a moment. Like what is a gendered fragrance really at this point?
It does smell like Bohemian Lime.
Oh, it's so lovely. I love that.
Next one.
Ooh, that is gourmand. Do you know how they say gourmand fragrances?
That's gourmand.
It's giving Marie Antoinette cake, like...
So we're saying gourmand and we're saying...
I think strawberry tart. So for me, fruity, but in the strawberry, you know, berries.
Let's go with that.
A fruity strawberry tart.
This is BDK Passoir.
That was very nicely done.
I learned French when I was 17. Yes, fruity and floral.
Yes.
And it's got resinous wood.
And it's got fresh floral opening, ginger and black pepper. The black pepper always gets me. I used to be a massive fan of, was it Gucci? I think it was just called Gucci or Gucci 2, I want to say, but maybe that's a lie. And it was a floral with black pepper notes. It's like with pepper in a fragrance, I can never smell it. But then when you tell me it's there, I'm suddenly like, now I can smell it.
I think you were right on the gourmand. Listen to this note. This is a heart note. Quince chutney.
Oh, quince chutney. Strawberry tart.
I love me some quince chutney.
I do too. All right.
I do love the smell of coffee.
But not in my nostril. Oh, that's different.
Okay. That is spicy.
Yes. Pear or am I going crazy?
Fruity, yeah. Something fruit. It's fruity and it's, what did I say?
Spicy.
Spicy. Fruity and spicy.
Yeah, fruity and spicy.
Is it? Yep, I think we got that one.
Oh, Juliet has a gun.
Juliet has a gun, ode to dullness.
Okay. I love Juliet has a gun as a brand. How good.
A soft, clean and comforting fragrance with notes of freesia, cashmere, sandalwood and musk.
I usually can smell musk from a mile away and I could not pick that on this, but I do feel like star anise as a top note, that is spicy.
Okay.
Like that's a strong spice.
And it's woody as well.
Yes.
Which we didn't get. But musk, I think we got.
Close. I guess. Close.
Close.
Close enough.
How fun
to work in fragrance.
I know. And come up with these names.
And come up with the product descriptions.
Yes.
You're also a copywriter. This would be a great job for you. I feel like
I'd love to do this. My dream, anyone that wants to hire me, is to come up with the names of products like lipstick colors.
Yes.
Like eyeshadow colors. Like I would come up with the most bonkers names and you would go viral. Just letting you know out
just
there.
Just give me one.
Just let's
see your skills.
Okay. So say we got a bright red lipstick.
Yep.
We're going to call it Gals in the Bathroom. Would you not buy a bright red lipstick that's like
Gals
in the Bathroom?
Yeah, I love that. I don't know if it'll fit on the packaging.
It will now.
The bathroom's quite long.
It will on my lipstick. That was good. Packaging.
Next one.
Definite citrus. Definite. Maybe green note? Maybe apple. Maybe it's... But apple. To me, it's like a cut tree, like a fruit tree that's been trimmed.
I think fruity and citrus. I keep saying fruity and citrus.
I know. We've said it for everything. We've got to get it right
but
once.
But I reckon this is fruity and citrus.
Burberry goddess. Okay.
Embrace your divine femininity. A scent that's as captivating and powerful as you are. Oh, gourmand.
Vanilla,
I'm lavender and cacao.
Dying. We're not even close. There's not one bit of apple or lemon in this one. It is literally vanilla. It's vanilla.
It does smell vanilla.
You say vanilla and now I can smell vanilla. It's actually really beautiful. That would be a beautiful wedding scent, I feel.
Mm.
It's got that lovely romantic.
And gourmand, it does smell.
Yeah. Like cake.
Yeah.
No, I always think gourmand so to me off. Is cake or pastries. But that would be a beautiful wedding perfume if anyone's on the lookout. It's really sweet and lovely.
We've got the last one.
Okay.
Marc Jacobs. Is it?
I think
it's
so.
The Marc Jacobs, the Daisy. Yes.
Marc Jacobs Daisy. She did it.
So it's floral, obviously.
It is floral.
How did I get that?
It's also fruity, isn't it?
I'm so bad at fragrance.
No, that's just floral. That's just straight up floral.
Straight up floral. Yep. Oh, floral woody musk. Very feminine.
Strawberry.
Agree. Fruits and vivid green leaves.
Oh, Daisy. Yeah. This is the perfume. If you are a mum, if you're buying for a teen girl or a preteen, like their first fragrance,
Marc
Jacobs
fragrance.
Daisy. Oh, it never fails. It's so lovely. It's got a little bit of a grown up feel, but it's still youthful and young and it doesn't, you know, it's not too heavy. It's such a good first fragrance. Mm. Oh. Oh, to be young again.
I reckon we did okay.
Do you?
I reckon we did a D plus. C plus.
Dermatologist Dr. Cara McDonald is back again on the podcast to chat about syncing our skincare with our menstrual cycle. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I'm really interested in this because I do find that my skin shifts and I never attributed it to my cycle. But now that I've done like a little bit of reading on it, I'm like, oh, this makes so much sense. So like, for example, hormonal breakouts, they can happen often during the bleeding portion of our cycle. Can you tell us why?
Yes and no. It's complicated. Mm. And of course, not everyone is the same. And I say this to be taken with a grain of salt, I suppose, that not everyone follows the same thing with their menstrual cycle. But essentially, we do have fluctuations in our hormones through our menstrual cycle. The follicular phase, which is the, sort of the first half of our cycle, our estrogen wraps up, and then the progesterone follows in our luteal phase, which is kind of second half of the cycle. And then just before we actually get our period, those hormones drop quite quickly. And, you know, that's responsible for, you know, some of our mood changes and all the other things we see. But when those hormones drop, we do see changes in the skin because of that. And essentially, the male hormones that we all have, and they're kind of more stable, become more dominant because our female hormones have dropped away. Right. So we tend to see more oiliness in the skin. More inflammation in the skin and kind of clogging of the pores. And so it's partly that hormone drop. There's also potentially stress factors that play a role. You know, people are sometimes stressed when they have their period for various reasons, possibly pain, just being annoyed by it all. And so cortisol, which is another hormone, goes up when we're stressed. And so that can also impact our skin. So we do definitely see an increase in breakouts with the menstrual period, but not for everyone.
I had a follow-up question on those hormonal breakouts. So my mum, when she got breakouts just on the neck, even as she got older, we all just thought that it was like mum's got her period. Is that, and like it was just the neck. Was that a thing?
Well, interestingly, the neck and jawline do tend to be more hormone sensitive areas. And so they are the oil glands,
okay.
And pores in those areas are more sensitive to our male hormones. I mean, as you get older, those male hormones become more dominant. Anyway, if she was postmenopausal, premenopausal, look, okay. I think, you know, fine, just blame that. But I'm not sure it's always the case.
That's so specific for your mom, Hannah.
But then I started getting the same. Like, I always thought the neck was hormonal because that was always the place. Maybe it was passed down from my mum to me.
Yeah. A special genetic neck pimple. Yeah,
probably.
So does the menstrual cycle influence our skin's hydration and moisture retention?
Yes, it does, definitely. So again, back to that kind of cyclical hormonal change, estrogen, which is dominant in the earlier part of the cycle, is estrogen's great. I mean, that's why people talk about that pregnancy glow where you have really high levels of estrogen. It basically increases your hyaluronic acid production. It helps hold moisture in the skin. So you kind of look glowy without looking oily when estrogen's high. And then progesterone comes in and actually is more likely to increase inflammation. You also tend to retain fluid often in that second part of the cycle, which can actually be irritating or inflammatory to the skin, even though when we retain water, this is where a lot of people get confused. People think drinking more water will hydrate their skin. Retaining water does not hydrate your skin. In fact, it can be quite irritating on the skin. Just totally off the topic here, but people with swelling in their legs, like their skin becomes very dry and inflamed due to that water retention. So water on the inside of the body does not necessarily hydrate the skin. So we tend to see that dryness, inflammation, irritation in that second stage of the cycle. And then again, as those hormones drop off completely, we tend to see that more oily, acne-prone or male-driven sort of phase of the cycle. So you can go from glowy to dry to oily all in the space of a
month. To neck pimples.
To neck pimples.
Back to neck pimples. What joy.
So would I be right in saying then that it's the second half of your menstrual cycle where you might find your skin is more sensitive or prone to irritation? Like, what could that look like? Is that, you're talking about dryness, is that like dry patches or is it like dermatitis? Like, what does that look like on some people, I guess?
Yeah, great question. And I suppose, again, it depends on your starting point, doesn't it? If you're a dry skin person, you might notice that your dryness is worse, your eczema is worse, you may have some flaking, you may see some irritation. If you're an oily skin person, you might be, you know, finding it's no issue at all. But generally, people will just notice that their skin may look a bit dull, lackluster. They might notice their fine lines are looking worse, but certainly more prone to that irritation and inflammation as well. So, you know, if you're trying to ramp up your retinol, for example, maybe don't do it in the second half of your cycle, because it will actually be harder to tolerate skincare products that are irritating in that part.
So interesting. I never thought about that, but that's so interesting.
I know.
I'm going to be so aware now, like in my cycle of when my skin's more irritated. Yeah. Probably too aware.
And so when we talk about like syncing our skincare with the cycle, what kind of adjustments could be made to your routine to accommodate the changes that you've talked about during the different phases?
Well, this is where I probably get a little bit boring, really, because at the end of the day, it's very hard to kind of chase all those changes through your cycle. And it comes back to, you know, what your base skin type is and getting the right ingredients and skincare routine for your kind of basic skin type. And then generally you'll tolerate those changes in your cycle really well. So rather than trying to change your skincare product every couple of weeks or, you know, 10 days to try and chase what's going on with your cycle, what you want is for your skin to be in really good condition and for you to have great skincare. And then you'll find all those changes aren't such a problem. So, for example, with people who are prone to acne breakouts, you don't want to be just trying to treat the acne when you're getting the breakouts. What you want to be doing is having the right ingredients, like, you know, gentle AHAs, BHAs, salicylic acid, for example, niacinamide, which is hydrating, great for our barrier, and anti-inflammatory. We want all those ingredients during that cycle so that we're not going to get the clogged pores, we're not going to get the inflammation, and those hormonal changes won't tend to have such an impact. And if you're still getting significant acne breakouts despite good skincare, you may need to move to like a medical grade preventative, you know, type treatment option, prescription cream or something like that. And so, look, I think being aware is great. And if you kind of think, God, I feel really dry, and like I said, maybe, you know, don't be trying to increase or introduce new actives when you know, this should be your more sensitive or inflamed part of the cycle. But I really wouldn't be recommending that people are switching and changing their skincare specifically around with their cycle. Mm.
So it's sort of, in a way, like supporting your skin barrier would be more helpful, I suppose, for that second half of the cycle than sort of, yeah, flipping between like an acne cleanser and a hydrating cleanser and a this and a that every week.
Exactly. That's what I would think, because I mean, God, people are confused enough with skincare and all the products they need and what they should be doing with their routine. Like if you try and put three different routines in a month, you know, they're just going to end up with their skin being a disaster, in my opinion. But as I said, being aware, noticing those differences and, you know, playing to them a little bit with what you are doing is probably a good idea.
I've got a question on that. So I'm probably more, if I get what feels like a hormone, I don't check my cycle, so I actually don't know. I probably should, like everyone else does. I have no idea when my period's coming, but I do know that I do get hormonal breakouts. And so I'll then use just during that time, like a salicylic acid serum, and I don't really use that aside from that time. So is that something that I should be looking to maybe introduce on a more regular basis?
Yeah, you're sort of, you know, always playing catch up if you're doing it that way. Whereas ideally what you want to be is one step ahead, you know, with your skincare really. And for example, salicylic acid is good when you have acne breakouts. It does help penetrate down into the pores and break up the blocked pore and help clear that breakout. But all pimples and all acne start with kind of congestion in the pore before you see any inflammatory lesion, because the inflammation is your body reacting to that block in the pore. So if you're actually using a salicylic acid on a more regular basis, you probably will have less, at least, or hopefully, you know, very few blocked pores that then get inflamed at the time of your cycle. So actually, if
you make sense,
use the products that treat the problem before it happens, or prevent the problem from occurring. And that's why, you know, some of our prescription medications, they are specifically designed to stop that block occurring in the pore. Because if you don't have a block, when you get that hormonal change, it doesn't become inflamed and, you know, stop the blocks, and then you stop the breakouts.
What about sort of less regular treatments like exfoliating or like a hydrating mask? Are there times in your cycle where those can be beneficial, or those sort of skincare treats, I guess, that we give ourselves?
Yes, absolutely. And look, you know, we can always have a skincare treat, but don't, you know, go for the exfoliation when you're in your more sensitive or dry phase of your skin. I generally avoid physical exfoliation most of the time, but chemical exfoliation, if you really see those changes during your cycle, then back off in that second stage of your cycle. Use less chemical exfoliation, more hydration. So that's when you might add in your hydrating masks. You've got PMS anyway, you kind of need a bit of self-care. So, you know, do the things that are going to calm down your skin, calm down your brain, make you feel better, and then, you know, ramp up the preventative stuff for your acne as you actually come out of your period. You want to be using that preventative stuff right through the cycle, and then you should get less breakouts when you get to your period.
So good. I'm going to have put on my little hydrating mask and have a PMS cry while wearing it.
Oh, my PMS is next level. Perfect. I'm like unhinged when I'm like my period's due, and then it comes and I'm like, oh, that's why I was crying, because the butter fell out of the fridge.
Yeah, so your skin probably fluctuates more than some other people's as well. Yes. Because your hormones probably have bigger peaks and troughs.
Yeah.
Or else you're just a sensitive type, you know.
I think both. I'm a bit of a Pisces, so yeah, there's that too.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Cara, for joining us again.
My pleasure. Anytime. It's nice to see you all.
So Hannah, what is the product you didn't know you needed this week?
My product this week is the Benefit Fan Fest Mascara.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we're in person today, so I'm wearing it.
Oh, it's a fan fest.
Yeah, is it a fan fest?
It's a fan fest. It looks great.
So as the product name suggests, it's creating that wide-eyed effect.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about it because I've spoken a lot on this podcast about tubing mascaras, because I generally will only, if I've got to wear a mascara all day, I've got oily skin, so I don't generally wear just a normal mascara. Yeah. I'll wear a tubing mascara always. I don't like waterproof. I like tubing. I wanted to try this for like everyone else, but actually, like, I was like, I'm going to try it to see how it looks. I think for most skin type, normal mascaras are fine. If I put mascara on the bottom lashes, it's going to smudge. But I put this mascara on, I was like, I've got to give it a go and see how well it lasts on my skin type to sort of see what would the longevity be.
Yeah.
And it actually did pretty much last all day. I had a tiny little bit of smudging, as you would expect for my skin.
Yeah.
That's not a tubing mascara. There was this was right at the end of the day. I was actually really shocked at how long it lasted, right, even for me. It does say it's smudge proof, humidity proof, sweat proof. And I actually think it is 100%. Yeah. If it lasted on my skin type, then it really is smudge proof.
So then it's not a waterproof, but it is a waterproof.
It says water resistant.
Yeah. Okay.
But
so it doesn't feel crunchy, because waterproof mascaras for me feel crunchy.
No, it doesn't. Mm. They feel really nice. Not clumpy, not flaky. Amazing. And for me, mascaras all seem the same in terms of how they make my lashes look.
Yeah.
Is that just me?
No, I feel like they all make my lashes look the same until I find one that I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, you know how I talked about the L'Oreal Lash Paradise mascara like a few episodes ago? That one, every day when I put it on, I'm like, wow.
I always measure mascaras for me as how long they last.
Yeah.
I will, you know, definitely always go back to a tubing. My favorite's that Estee Lauder tubing that I've spoken about a million times, but I actually love this. I find the only problem with tubing is I can't be bothered taking it off. It's like that just extra step of trying to get it off, because you have to sort of rub it through.
I hate that. That's why I don't like tubing mascaras. It's weird. It's like when you take false lashes off and it looks like tiny spiders all over the shower. It's like that.
That was me last night.
Yes.
Because we were on the shoot. We were on a podcast shoot and I had to take them all off. They're still sitting in my shower. Just remembered that. They're still in there.
Speaking of getting makeup off.
Oh, yes.
Because my PWD KWN.
Great did that work.
Today is the Alpha H Melting Moment Cleansing Balm with Australian Flannel Flower. Mm-hmm. I am obsessed with a cleansing balm. It's been only a few years that I've been on the cleansing balm train. I used to be all about cleansing oils. And this is when I talk about cleansing oils, cleansing balms, this for me is my first cleanse, like a pre-cleanse. Mm-hmm. And I'll only use them when I'm wearing makeup or quite heavy sunscreen, like if it's been like a long day with lots of reapplication of sunscreen, or I've had makeup on all day, to get that off my face before I just use like a gentle cleanser. I love cleansing balms more than cleansing oils. And the reason like I became a fan was because they're solid, obviously. So much easier.
A lot easier.
So much easier to travel with. I used this. This is new.
Is this the new Sage?
It's the new version. So it uses flannel flower, but it's a limited edition spicy pear, sage, and warm amber scent.
I've seen this, the dark green.
Yes.
Yeah.
It smelled,
I can imagine,
like I was in a Balinese retreat. Yep. I was in my Eat, Pray, Love era.
Yes.
I was like recovering from a failed relationship and I had just had my like life-changing moment during a massage. Yep. Like it was it was outrageous. Like, I was like, I want this on my face every night forever. I feel like I felt more settled as I went to sleep. Like, yeah. I'm being very dramatic about this.
Yeah, very dramatic. I didn't know beauty products could change your life in such a deep and lasting way, Mel.
But they can. Yes. But look, from an efficacy point of view, it's really good.
I agree. This cleansing balm, the orange one.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the OG.
Mm-hmm. And it's so good, right, because it goes on and it immediately, like, emulsifies. Melts. And it rinses off really quickly. And I think sometimes some cleansing balms will have like beeswax in them or like wax-based products that sometimes I just don't find it fully comes off my face. And I'm usually okay with that because then I go in with a cleanser anyway, so it's fine. But this one, you could use this alone and I feel like you would finish rinsing and you'd be like, yep, everything's off my face, but it still feels quite hydrated and nourished. People are loving it already. Someone has said, this Alpha H cleanser is beautiful. See, dramatic. We're all being dramatic about it. It's a nourishing balm oil that feels so calming and comforting to the skin, removes all traces of makeup with ease without drying out your skin or making it feel tight. And I think that for me is the cornerstone of this product, is that if you've got dry skin, sensitive, I mean, sensitive skin, maybe not because it's very fragranced, but my skin reacts not great to fragrances, but I don't mind them in my cleansers because then I'm like, it's not sitting on my face for ages.
You're washing it off.
So if I'm going to have fragrance anywhere, it's in my cleanser. But look, dry skin would eat this up. You would love it. So yes, can recommend.
So I picked Mel up today from her hotel.
Yep.
And I said, oh, so are you going straight to the airport? Like, we were driving to the studio and I said, are you going to go straight to the airport? And you were like, I think I'm going to find a nail salon and get these nails taken off. I can't type. I tried to do work yesterday. I can't type.
I can't do anything.
Since you had these nails, we've talked about these nails a bit, you are way more expressive with your fingers.
Yeah, I am.
I love it.
Have I become more expressive or are you just noticing my hands because I have these giant red nails on them? We don't know. Okay. Chicken or egg here.
But they look amazing. Why do you want to get them taken off?
So I do love them. So to recap for anyone who may have missed it, I talked about how I'd never had acrylics before, but I really wanted to get them before this wedding for no particular reason. I was like having like a mind snap. And then we had this whole conversation of like, what are acrylics? Because your take on acrylics was very different to mine. I'd never had them before. But this is like, they were called Gel X. So they looked like plastic stick-on nails, but like a very high quality, high tech version.
They look amazing. I know we keep saying you're in different eras. Yes. This is villain.
This is villain. It's giving villain. My intention was Studio 54, disco 70s.
Yes.
Glowy skin, bright red long nails, but I think actually they're more giving like 80s receptionist.
Yeah.
Like 80s sort of like bitchy receptionist.
Okay.
Who's like just tap, 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 tap. Because that's the thing that I love is that I'm going to try and do the tapping noise and see if it comes through the microphone. But like I do this all day, every day.
Yeah.
Love like I'm sound. Constantly doing this because I just like love the sound of it. So I love them, but I can't do so many things with them. So my best story about these nails, apart from not being able to like do any work, which I feel is such a 80s receptionist energy.
Oh, yeah.
I can't possibly type up that invoice because my nails. But the best story is that at this wedding, we had this big, beautiful Airbnb. I hadn't seen my friend Kath in ages. She lives in Taiwan. She'd just come back for the wedding. And I had been in my room like putting on my jeans and realized I couldn't do up my jeans with the nails. Like I could not get the button across into the hole. Mm-hmm. And I heard her come in, I burst out of the room, kind of forgot that my jeans were not done up. And I'm like, oh my God, Kath. And her partner were there. And her partner was just like looking at me. And then I realized like my pants, like my whole fly is just undone. And then I was like, Kath, hi. Oh my gosh, I can't do my jeans up. Can you do my jeans up for me? And then she tried to do them from the front. And she was like, you know, with jeans when they're tight, like they'd just been washed. She's like, I haven't ever done this from the front. I'm going to have to go behind you. And so she put her arms around my pelvis and was doing my jeans up. Like she squashed up behind me. It was the most intimate experience of our life. And we were just like, this is not how this is meant to be. This is insane. So yeah, look, I can't put my pants on.
It's time to get them off.
They got to go. So yes, straight after the recording, she's heading to a salon. They're going to go. But it has been a fun time from a visual perspective.
And you'll never get fake nails again.
Never get them again.
Okay. Okay, well, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks everyone for joining us today. Don't forget to subscribe and tell your friends. It helps other people to discover us, and we'd love to know what you thought about this podcast. So if you could leave us a review, that would be much appreciated.